Today, we're going to consider the life of a woman that we don't usually mention beyond Christmas. We're going to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it seems that through the centuries, Mary is either ignored or she is given undue attention. I know Easter has just passed. We're going to go back to Christmas a little bit. But I think that this is it's good for us to look at Mary's life. We're going to look to center around the passage that we call the Magnificat. The Magnificat. Mary is mentioned 20 times in the New Testament, and the Magnificat is taken from the Latin version of the Scriptures. And that passage starts out. The first word in that passage is Magnificat, so that hence the name for that portion of the Bible. Perhaps the question is why? Why look at Mary? Because Mary is one of the greatest examples of a disciple of Christ. The little glimpses we get of this ordinary woman, and she was an ordinary woman, that God chose for a special purpose, should be an encouragement to us. In this little passage in Luke chapter 1, 46 to 51, we're going to restart at verse 26, but this little passage called the Magnificat is called the last song of the Old Testament and the first song of the New. The last song of the Old Testament and the first of the New. So let's read at verse 26. Verse 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from the Lord.'" And this is the Magnificat. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Let's just pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, for the miraculous events of the time of Christ. We thank you, Father, for the ordinary men and women that you chose to use for your special purposes. And pray, our Father, that you'd help us as we live in this world as ordinary people, that you'd use us for your purposes in this world. I pray, our Father, that we would be strong in our faith. And pray, our Father, as the wickedness increases upon the earth, that you would help us to be strong and that you would work in our hearts for your glory, we pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 1 of Luke is one of the most exciting chapters of the Bible. In this chapter, we see the beginning of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy regarding the coming Messiah. We are told that it was the hope of every Israelite woman to be the mother of the Messiah. The Messiah was promised, and all Jews awaited the coming of the Messiah, and many still are. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus, and they are waiting for their Messiah to come. The first promise of the Messiah was in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And in verse 15, God is addressing Satan. It says, Genesis 3:15 says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." That her seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the woman that gave birth to Christ is Mary. So this was the first prophecy of the Lord Jesus. And Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." So out of all the women of the world, Mary was the one chosen. She was the mother of the Messiah. Mary became what every Israelite woman dreamed of becoming. She was a very blessed woman. Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel. 600 years earlier, Gabriel appeared to Daniel, the prophet. And just 6 months earlier, Gabriel had appeared to Zacharias and told him that his wife would have a son in her old age. Gabriel told Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And indeed she was. And then he continues, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." What a beautiful blessing for a very ordinary woman. In plain words, the angel told Mary that she was the woman every Israelite woman wanted to be, the mother of the Messiah. And notice that that Gabriel didn't ascribe any special title to Mary. He just called her Mary. She was simply Mary. But Mary had great presence of mind. I know if I was visited by an angel, I would stammer and stutter, but she was able to collect her thoughts, and she asked a very simple question. "If I am a virgin, how am I going to have a baby?" This was not a question of doubt. It was a question of how. It was a question that rose up out of her faith. She was told this thing and she believed it. So her mind turned quickly and she said, okay, here's a question. And it was a question of faith. And it was a step of faith question. So the angel Gabriel told her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. This chapter is packed full of the supernatural. So there it was. Mary was told that she would be the mother of the Messiah. And she was also told that her child would have a supernatural father. He would be the Son of God. One of our Christmas carols puts it this way. To us, a child of royal birth, heir of the promises is given. The invisible appears on earth, the Son of Man, the God of heaven. The Son of Man, the God of heaven. And Mary's response is a perfect response. She said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Those are beautiful words. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Tremendous faith. This was tremendous faith in a very young woman. Mary was a woman of faith. She submitted herself to the will of God. She believed every word the angel spoke to her. She did not balk. She did not whine. Some other people in the Bible balked. Moses balked. And God became very angry with them. Even Zacharias showed unbelief. And he wasn't able to speak until his son was born. Mary was probably a teenager, possibly in her 20s. She had just received news from an angel that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. And she was so full of joy. She had a wonderful secret. And who could she share it with? The angel told her that her relative Elizabeth was also going to have a child. The angel didn't tell her to go there, but she did. And this was a great step of faith for Mary. So off she goes to Elizabeth's house. Imagine going to tell someone one of the most beautiful secrets ever. But imagine going to tell someone a secret that only you could possibly know. And the person who meets you at the door knows all about it. This was a tremendous encouragement to Mary. If she was having any doubts, this would no doubt take them away. Verse 39 says, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. In this chapter, we are told of three people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. The first one is John the Baptist. He's not even born yet. Luke 1:15 says, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. If you look back at verse 44, it says, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, The babe leaped in my womb for joy. The next person is in verse 41, and it's Elizabeth. It says, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Then the third person that's filled with the Holy Spirit in this chapter is Zacharias. It says in verse 67, "Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied." Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." This was another confirmation to Mary. She was truly blessed. Now notice the title that Elizabeth gives Mary. She calls her the Mother of My Lord. The Mother of My Lord. This is the only title that is ever given to Mary in the Bible. Obviously, Elizabeth, by the Holy Spirit, knew who Jesus was. She referred to him as My Lord. And she referred to Mary as the Mother of My Lord. This is a very interesting title. It's an acknowledgement that Mary's baby is her Lord. She did not call her the Mother of God. The Mother of God. That is an expression you hear today. And here is a quote from someone that says, "A mother, by definition, precedes her child and at some point is more powerful than her child." So to call Mary the Mother of God gives the misleading implication that Mary preceded and at one time was more powerful than the Lord God Almighty. I think that's helpful. Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus always existed in eternity. He began his earthly ministry by being born of a woman. Philippians 2:6-8 in the New Living Testament says this, "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, he took the humble position of a slave, and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross." That is how Christ began his earthly ministry. He came purposely to this earth and was born of a woman. Romans 10:9 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." If you can say that Jesus is Lord, then you can say with Elizabeth that Mary is the mother of your Lord. That's where our relationship with Christ begins. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you don't come there, then you can have no part of Mary, as it were. Elizabeth said that Mary was the mother of her Lord. And that's all that we can say. And one more thing that Elizabeth said that is very important to us. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the beginning." Mary believed the angel. Mary believed Gabriel. And she said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Now let's move on to this song of praise of Mary's called the Magnificat in verse 46. And it says, "And Mary said," as we read this, look for a couple things. Look for all the personal pronouns. And there's 8 he has's in this passage. He has, 8 times. See if you can find them. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. In this beautiful song of praise, we see Mary pouring out her heart in praise to God. Earlier we mentioned that there were 3 people in this chapter that were filled with the Spirit. It doesn't tell us specifically that Mary was filled with the Spirit, and many are puzzled by this, but most say that even though it does not say she was filled with the Spirit, that it is evident that she was. In this beautiful song, the Magnificat, Mary pours out her heart in praise. And I hope you found the 8 he has's in this passage. And at first, Mary's praise is very personal. The first part is what he has done for Mary. The second part is what he has done for us, for everyone else. And the third part is what he has done for Israel. So firstly, Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." This is true praise to God. We can see how happy Mary is. We can see how she has embraced this thing, that this great announcement that she will be the mother of the Lord Jesus. This is true praise to God. Mary can't contain her joy. God has blessed her personally, and she marvels that God could use someone in such a low position. He's regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. And then she concludes that part with, "He who is mighty has done great things for me." He who is mighty has done great things for me. We can all say that. The next part is what he has done for us. We are included in this section. And notice the 5 he has in this section. "And his mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly." This is for us, this section. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And the next part is what he has done for Israel. Israel. It says he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. In Matthew 1:21, it says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The Lord Jesus came for Israel first. They rejected him, and the door is open for us all. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." One day Israel will come en masse to the Lord Jesus. They will recognize who he was. They will look upon him on whom they have pierced. So in getting back to the original question, what can we learn from Mary? What can we learn from Mary? Well, there's a lot we can learn. The first thing we can learn is that believing the Word of God is of highest importance. First of all, it's important for salvation. Everyone who comes to Christ must believe. Everyone who comes to Christ must believe. That is how we receive salvation. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Believing is how we come into God's family, through faith. And it's also important for the Christian life. That is how we grow. We increase in faith, we increase in love. The Christian life is a life of faith. Elizabeth said to Mary, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Believing. Now the next thing that is important is Mary's faith and submission to the will of God. Mary was called to be the mother of the Lord Jesus. And this is her response. "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." After Jesus was born, he was out preaching and teaching. And his mothers and brothers came out to look for him. Turn with me, please, over a few chapters to chapter 8. This is over 30 years later. And it says in chapter 8, verses 19 to 21, "Then his mother, Mary, and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you.' But he answered and said to them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" Those who hear the word of God and do it. This requires faith to hear the words of Christ and to do them. Chapter 11, we'll read it, verse 27. It says, "And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you.' But he said, 'More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Both of these verses seem to diminish the role of Mary as the mother of Jesus. And they exalt Jesus as Lord and Master. To Jesus, it was more important to hear the word of God and keep it than it was to be a relative. We can hear and we can keep the word of God. We can be the mothers and the brothers of the Lord Jesus, as it were. Mary didn't balk from this. She knew that her role as mother of the Lord Jesus was over. Mary had a marvelous grasp of the Word of God. She obviously knew Hannah's prayer. Hannah was the mother of Samuel in the Old Testament. She knew the Psalms and the promises to Israel. And it's important for us to know the Word of God. So this is the third thing that we can learn from Mary. She had a wonderful grasp of the Word of God. And tonight we're going to talk about how being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the Word of Christ produce the same results. We will see that it is necessary to know the Word of Christ to be filled with the Spirit. So Mary had a marvelous grasp of the Word of God. And the last thing that we will mention, and there are many more things that we can learn from Mary, is Mary's meditation on the things of God. We're going to speak more about that tonight too. We read in Luke that Mary pondered and meditated often. In Luke 1:29, it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And then in 2 verse 19, it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She meditated on them. And chapter 2, verse 51 says, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Meditation. One of the definitions of meditation is treasuring the things of God in your heart. We're going to talk more about that tonight. I want to mention three more glimpses of Mary in the Bible. Being the mother of the Lord Jesus was a great blessing, but it also came with a lot of hardship. In Luke chapter 2, we see Joseph and Mary, or as the Bible puts it, Joseph and his mother, presenting Jesus at the temple. And there they met Simeon, a man who was waiting to see the consolation of Israel, or the Messiah. In chapter 2, verse 26 to 35, this is what it says. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. The Bible tells us that Mary was at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified. She witnessed the violent, painful death of her own son. I'm going to read that portion in John chapter 19. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved, the disciple whom he loved, standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Now this is the Apostle John. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. This seems to be The final connection is cut between Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. It seems that this was the last time that we see Mary as the mother of Jesus. Behold your mother, he says to John. Mary was present when Jesus did his first miracle. And there was a problem at that wedding, the wedding in Cana of Galilee, and Mary knew that Jesus could help. And in John chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, it says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. These are the last words of Mary. We don't have any other recorded words of Mary in the Bible, and they are fitting. Whatever he says to you, do it. And this is the best advice that Mary could have given. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Whatever he says to you, do it. And then the last glimpse we have of Mary is in the book of Acts. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read at verse 12. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. That's a beautiful sentence right there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Jesus' brothers were doubters. And it seems that after he rose from the dead, etc., that they believed on him. The book of Jude is written by one of the Lord's brothers, and the book of James is written by one of the Lord's brothers. This is a beautiful picture. The apostles and Jesus' family were there. His mother Mary, and his brothers. And this is the last picture we have of Mary, just before Jesus ascended to heaven, sitting with her other sons, waiting and praying. And Mary was given a very important job to do, and she did it willingly. She accepted this great announcement by faith. She welcomed it. She didn't have to be convinced. She said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. We too are given a very important job to do. All of us are different. We've been made differently. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we all have are to walk in the works that God has prepared for us beforehand. We each have a job to do. We should say, let it be to me according to your word. And we are called to be faithful. Faithfulness. The Lord loves faithfulness in his servants. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, he said. We need to be faithful. Here's a quote from Oswald Chambers. It says, the goal of faithfulness is not that we will do work for God, but that he will be free to work that he will be free to do his work through us. The goal of faithfulness is not that we will do work for God, but that he will be free to do his work through us. God calls us to his service and places tremendous responsibilities on us. He expects no complaining on our part and offers no explanation on his part. God wants to use us as he used his own son. If you go back to the first chapter of Luke, you will see all these simple people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. The funny thing is, with most of them, they were given work to do, and it seemed to be just at the wrong time. Just at the wrong time. Mary wasn't married, and she became pregnant. Zechariah and Elizabeth were expecting, and they were too old. We look at timing from our point of view, but God's timing is perfect. We need to be ready and willing to do whatever and whenever he asks us to do something. We need to be like Mary. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing in this world. Father, we thank you that we are living in these days, and it would appear that these are the end times. Father, we pray that you would help us, that we would do that special work that you have called us to do. I pray, our Father, that we would be like Mary, and that we would accept your word quickly and faithfully. We pray, our Father, that you would work in our hearts, that you would make us like Mary of old. And I pray, our Father, that you would take us into your hands and that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I pray, our Father, that we would believe your words and that we would do them. I pray, our Father, that we'd be the mothers and the brothers of the Lord Jesus. We pray, our Father, that you would help us to take your word seriously and that we would love it and that we would want to be like your Son, the Lord Jesus. We give you thanks in his name. Amen.